Thank you, Tommy, for that song service, and looking forward to the song, What Will You Do With Jesus, because it has a lot to do with what we're going to be talking about today for the few moments that we have together this morning. I want to thank you for being here, and if you happen to be visiting with us today, and I do see quite a few visitors in our crowd today, we're so very thankful that you have come to join us, and we want to welcome you and hope that you'll come back and be with us, and we'll get an opportunity to visit with you for a few moments afterwards and get to know you a little bit more. I want to invite you to go ahead and open your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. I want us to quickly go on into the lesson that we want to discuss for today. I want to set up the background of what's transpiring here in Mark chapter 9. You're going to find where that Jesus has decided to ascend a high mountain, and he's going to ascend that high mountain with three of his followers. He's going with Peter and James and John. Now, many people believe that the mountain he is going to ascend is Mount Hermon, which is near Caesarea Philippi. And so he goes up there, and there he is transfigured. And you remember this amazing occasion where Jesus is there and his clothing is turned into bright white, which no fuller could make white. It's the brightest white that these three guys have ever seen in their lives. And there appearing with them are Elijah and Moses. And Peter makes that statement, let's build three tents or make three tents here. One for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. And then he's overshadowed with this cloud. And God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And then he descends that mountain after this occasion with those three apostles, Peter, James, and John. In life, sometimes we have these spiritual high moments, don't we? You ever encountered a spiritually high moment where you just, for whatever reason, in your studies of God's Word or in your prayer life or in your meditation or in your worship, you just felt the presence of God in some way. You experienced a spiritual high. And oftentimes, after we've had some of these spiritual highs in our life, we are again faced with the reality of the human experience. We get slapped in the face with that. It's as though Satan has good timing. He knows when we're on a spiritual high. He knows when we've experienced something amazing in our life. Maybe there has been some moment that we've come to an understanding of God's Word and we've studied that and we learned something more and we're so excited. We've been involved in some great work that has brought glory to God in serving somebody else and we're on a spiritual high. Satan has a perfect way of timing it so that he will slap you back down to earth. You may be up on that spiritual mountain. You may be on that spiritual high. But he'll bring you back to the reality of the human experience. And that is certainly what is transpiring here in Mark chapter 9 as we get to Mark chapter 9 verses 14 through 19. Jesus has gone up. He's gone up there on that mountain. He's ascended that mountain. And there on the bottom, he has left his disciples. You know, he only took three guys up there with him. So the rest of the group is down at the base of the mountain. They're waiting for him to come. So the first thing that we understand is this. Jesus is absent. He has left the scene. He's not present with those individuals down there at the base of the mountain. While that happens, in Jesus' absence, the people lose control. They've lost control. We're going to look a little bit more at that a little bit as we go through our lesson. And then finally, when you think about that, if Jesus is not with us, there's a lack of control. Doesn't that sound about right? That sounds about right. If we don't have Jesus in our life, if we don't have the Lord to lead us, then things are going to be out of control. Well, that's what we find here in this particular passage of Scripture. There are these folks at the base of the mountain, and this crowd comes to the disciples, and there are scribes that are arguing with those individuals on that occasion. And there's a man that has brought his child that is demon-possessed, and he wants Jesus to heal him, but of course, Jesus isn't there. Jesus isn't there, so there's this attempt by the disciples to heal this young man, and nothing happens. No healing is offered. And so there's arguing of the people around there. You've got the disciples that are probably frustrated with what's going on. They've lost control of the situation. There's arguing. There's conflict. There's a man with a demon-possessed child. There are crowds that are gathering around. And probably those individuals on that occasion, those disciples, knew that things were a little bit out of control. Out of control. You ever felt things are out of control for you? Have you ever found yourself in a situation where the moment was above your head? You ever felt like that? You came to a point in life where the things going on were outside of your realm of being able to cope and handle and deal with those. It was over your head, the situation. And that's where the disciples found themselves, in a situation that was over their head. Now, what do you do in those moments, in those situations? Well, first thing that we need to do is we need to appeal to Jesus. We need to appeal to Jesus. When you think about the circumstances that were going on here at this particular place, they were surrounded by a crowd and conflict and arguing. In your life, you ever have that happen? Maybe it happens in your home. Maybe sometimes there's some conflict and there's some difficulty. Maybe it happens at your job. There's conflict. There's arguing. People can't seem to get along. There's frustration. You ever deal with those types of things on a regular basis in your life? Well, what about this? You ever had to deal with demon-possessed kids? I know some of you parents are going, you ever had to deal with demon-possessed kids? I mean that in a figurative and a literal way. You ever had to deal with kids that Satan has gotten a hold of? Family that Satan's grabbed? You have to deal with that in your life? And I say this is figuratively, but spiritually as well. Here's the chaos that's going on at this moment. Conflict, arguments. More than likely, the disciples at that particular time were feeling a little inadequate. They didn't know how to handle the circumstances. They didn't know how to handle this situation. We've done our very best, and we have failed. And we have failed miserably. What can we do? I guarantee you, when they saw Jesus walk down that mountain, that was probably one of the best sights they had ever seen in their life. I imagine there were probably some disciples there that were ready to give Jesus a kiss. Oh, we're so glad that you're back. Whoa, this crowd has gathered. There's been arguments. There's been conflict. There's this man here, and he's got this terrible problem with his child. There's nothing that we can do about it. We have failed. We failed. And the only way to have success is to appeal to Jesus. You know, left to ourselves, things can certainly get in a mess. We can make a mess of things. We know that in Proverbs 3, verse 5, that we're told to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. We're supposed to acknowledge Him and His ways. He will direct our paths. We need to appeal to Him because I can't control all the things of life and all the situation. Things of life, quite frankly, they're above my head. You ever heard that term, that's above my pay grade? That's above my pay grade. I don't know how to handle all of the things of life without Jesus. And if I try to handle those things without Jesus, I'm going to make a huge mess of everything. There's going to be chaos, much like what happened here in Mark chapter 9. This was a chaotic scene. And I've got to have Jesus. And so I need to appeal to Him for help in these circumstances. Jesus restored order. He restored order. Jesus came to the rescue. Now, the second thing I want us to do is this. When we think about this story, not only do we need to appeal to Jesus, we need to trust Jesus. You know, do we try to do it all ourselves sometimes, like the disciples? You know, maybe the man brought this demon-possessed child, and those guys thought, you know, Jesus had empowered them. They had the ability to do some marvelous things. We read about some of those things in Luke chapter 10 when Jesus sent them out, gave them powers. So when this man shows up with his demon-possessed son and the crowds are arguing, you know what, we can handle this. I'll take care of it. Send him over here. I wonder how many apostles this kid got passed to. You know, it's kind of like when you're in the kitchen, sometimes you can't get anything open. There's a bravado that goes around the room. You know, hey, hand me that jar, I'll get it. You know, you ever had that happen? You got guys that can't get it open. You know, hand it to me. And then finally somebody, pop. And then, wonder how many apostles this kid was passed to. Maybe one of them tried. I don't know. It's not recorded in Scripture. But maybe one of them tried. I don't know what's going on. Here, send him here. Let me look at this. Let me see if I can fix this problem. I can probably handle it. Not one of them were able to heal this boy. Not one. Do you seek the help of other people? Sometimes we go to the wrong source. You know, I am thankful that if you go back in the Scriptures and you read, you will see that the Father initially says, listen, I'm looking for Jesus. I brought my son to Jesus because I want him to heal him. I know that he can do that. So that's no slight of the Father. But when Jesus wasn't around, what did he do? He turned to other folks for the answer. How many people do you know right now in this life that instead of turning to Jesus and His Word for the answers of spiritual problems or life issues or things like that, they go and they seek the advice of other folks? They want to listen to other people. Let me go listen to this. Hey, you tell me, what do you think about this? That's okay for you to ask people for advice and for help. I'm not saying that you should never do that, but folks, the first thing that we need to do is we need to go to God's Word and we need to see what He has to say about it. Because it really doesn't matter what my advice is or what my opinion is if it's not in harmony with God's Word. So a lot of times, people don't go to the right source. We got to trust Jesus with the problems that we have. We got to take our things to Him. Are you ready to have order restored in your life? Are you ready for that? You've got to trust Jesus. And finally, I want to be delivered by Jesus. This story teaches me to be delivered by Jesus. After Jesus comes back down and he goes, hey, why are you folks arguing? What's all this commotion about? What are all the problems that I'm listening to and that I'm hearing? Why? I wonder if the scene wasn't similar to maybe what Moses was coming down to off of Mount Sinai when there was just some commotion down there and there was all kinds of things going on and Moses comes down and he sees all of this and he's so angry about it. You know, Jesus comes down and he hears these folks arguing and he knows that these things are going on and, hey, why are you arguing? What's the problem here? And the man brings his boy and he says, listen, I've got this son and he's demon-possessed and sometimes it throws him in fire and sometimes in water and I've seen other people about it and there's nobody that has been able to heal him. And I brought him to you and you weren't here and our disciples were standing there, so I thought maybe some of those guys could take care of this problem that we were having and they weren't able to fix it. So, now it's Jesus. And I hope that you see that it all comes back to Jesus. The chaos. He can settle the arguments. He's got the answers. He can heal the problems. He has the power. He can come to the rescue. He's your Savior. He came to this man's rescue. Be delivered by Jesus. If you made a mess of your life, think about the chaos that's going on with your own personal life. Jesus wants to give you back to your Father. You know, I love this story. Nobody had been able to help this man. And you know, sometimes we get to where we're like this father, where we just don't know if we can believe that. We've had so many disappointments in life, probably because we've done like many of those men did in what we've talked about today. We try to do things ourselves, or we try to go to the wrong source for advice instead of trying to go to Jesus for what we need. I'm sure this man had met with disappointment after disappointment. He had taken his son to others. He had brought him to the disciple. He wanted to believe. He dared to believe. But I think that he was guarded in his belief. Maybe this was another opportunity for somebody to pull the rug out from under his feet. We got into where in our lives we've become skeptical about things. We just don't want to believe that can happen truly. And I think that's where this man was. He just wanted to believe, but had met so much disappointment before, he was afraid to believe. And that's why he says, "I believe, help thou my unbelief." Jesus took that boy. He healed that boy of his demon possession. He delivered a whole son back to a father. And you know, he can deliver us back to our Father if we'll let him. Let me tell you the one thing that this guy realized on that day, and that we should realize. When we go to Jesus, we will never find disappointment. Never find disappointment in Jesus. Afraid, maybe. Guarded in his thoughts and in his faith and in his belief in Jesus being able to heal, perhaps. But he didn't find disappointment that day. He found elation, joy, relief, and hope. And you know what? Today, if you want to give your life over to Jesus, you're going to find the same things. Joy, hope. Because Jesus wants to heal us of the sins that plague us in our life, and he wants to deliver us back whole to our Father. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 24 talks about. He's going to deliver the kingdom back to God the Father. He's going to deliver us back. He came to the rescue. And if you're struggling with chaos in your life and with all types of problems, Jesus can come to your rescue. He'll help you. He's the only one that can. And so this morning, as we think about this story and we think about what Jesus can do, we want to invite those that are here that may need to respond to the invitation to do so. We mentioned a moment ago, maybe you've made a mess of life. Maybe there's some things that are plaguing you. Maybe there's some difficulties that you're facing, and the only answer for you is Jesus. If you're not a child of His, if you've not allowed Him to wash you clean of the sins of your life by responding to the invitation and repenting of your sins and confessing that He's the Son of God and being baptized to wash away those sins, we want to encourage you to do that. But if you want Jesus today to forgive you of your sins, if you want Him to help bring peace to your life, not disappointment, He's ready to do that. We're going to sing, What Will You Do with Jesus? That's the question for you while together we stand and sing.